Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome in one of our favorites, that's for sure. Ray Fittipaldo, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the fan hotline brought to you by Armstrong Business. Good morning, Ray. How is everything?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Excellent.
We're great, Ray. Ray, are you ready for Benny Snell football? That's what I want to know.
I know. I hope it came across in the story I wrote over the weekend of just, you know, how different he seems to the guy Le'Veon Bell was when he left. And believe me, I don't have any issue with guys wanting to get their money, but Bell was a guy who had become hardened, to the business side of the league. And, you know, here comes Benny Snell. He's just like eyes wide open, and he's just happy to be here. It's such a different contrast to what we had with the previous running back. So I'm still not convinced, guys, that Benny Snell is going to walk in here and have this role that, you know, he's going to be their short yardage and goal line guy right off the bat. But if the Steelers want to go that route, that's this guy's brand. I mean, he's known for getting those tough yards. And, you know, as I noted in my story, the Steelers weren't exactly a great offense last year when they had the closeout games or, you know, in short yardage situations. So there's a role to be had if they want to go that route. I'm just not convinced that the Steelers really want to change their offense all that much.
You know, but Ray, we're told, we have it on good authority that 3rd and 7, 1st and 10, 3rd and 8, 2nd and 9, 4th and 1, it's all Benny Snell football.
Is that Ben Roethlisberger football or Juju football?
I don't know. Benny Snell seems to think whatever. But he just, you know, it's funny because normally when guys come off and they go third person on us, it comes off as just a – but it, the way he's doing it is different. He just seems like a delightful young man.
No, that's not him. And, you know, I hope that came across. I know you guys, you know, sort of first exposed him to the fans of Pittsburgh when you had him on. You know, I think it was a week after he was drafted. And so when I had the opportunity to talk to him over the weekend at rookie minicamp, that was the first time I talked to him. And, you know, he came across the same way. He was just happy-go-lucky. And, you know, he was serious about football, too. I mean, he knows that, you know, he's going to have to be in here, get in there and, you know, be on his P's and Q's if he wants to have a role on the football team. And he's very confident, but he's not cocky, guys. So I think he's somebody that could develop into, you know, a player that people can like here. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see how he does here during the summer before we start projecting that kind of stuff.
You can text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan. Text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Let's get through the OTAs and let's get through rookie minicamp. Let's get through all that stuff and let's fast forward to St. Vincent. What is the breakdown between Mark Barron and Devin Bush and Vince Williams and Ulysses Gilbert, especially just Mark Barron and Devin Bush? How are they going to evaluate those two guys, and who's going to take the reps with the ones? How's that going to all work?
Yeah, I mean, it's really an interesting situation, guys. You know, when Ryan Shazier was drafted back in 2014, that was coming off the two missed playoff back-to-back years and, you know, people calling them old and slow and that sort of thing. And Ryan Shazier was in there the first snap of OTAs. Vince Williams was out. Ryan Shazier was in the starting lineup. It's a little bit of a different situation this year. I know they used the number 10 overall pick on Bush, but they do have a veteran, Vince Williams, this time, who's a good run stopper and a good blitzer, and they're paying Mark Barron $6 million a year. So there's not going to be a rush to get Devin Bush into the lineup right away. I think they might bring him along slowly. Listen, guys, eventually, once he proves that he has everything down, he's going to be a starter at some point this year. But I don't get the idea right off the bat, you know, first day of OTAs or even first day of training camp, that they're going to rush him into the starting lineup. They might. He might be that talented, but the depth chart is set up in a different way in 2019 than it was in 2014, where you have Vince Williams coming off a rookie season, but, you know, he wasn't really anything special at that point. Now you have a Vince Williams who's established and also Mark Barron, who looks like he's going to be a pretty good player too.
You know, Ray, without seeing even a down of OTAs and or mini camp, I guess, is when all the guys should be there, do you think that by the end of the season that you might see Bush and Barron on the field at the same time more often than you would see Bince and either one of those guys together?
Well, so, yeah, I mean, certainly in second and long, third and long situations, I think you might see that. You know, the danger is that, like, when it's second and six, even second and seven, you line up two guys who are 230 pounds, and, you know, you could be susceptible to the run. And, I thought the Patriots did an excellent job of doing that to the Rams in the Super Bowl. You know, the Rams kind of played light all game long, and I know the Patriots didn't score a lot of points in that game, but they really did control that game, you know, by the way they ran their offense. So it's going to be a chess match, but I think, you know, the big thing for the Steelers is they now have those pieces to play whatever way they want. Last year, they didn't have the pieces. I mean, you know, John Bostic was out there trying to guard Keenan Allen. I mean, it was, by the end of the season, it was just a mess. And, you know, by bringing in Mark Barron and by taking Devin Bush where they took him, it's not going to be a mess this year, but there are going to be some challenges to, you know, try and figure out where those guys fit best.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Ray, were you at that thing, the water balloon fight thing?
I did. I went to rookie mini camp, and I was driving home, and I called my wife, and I said, what are you guys doing? And they're like, we're going up to see Juju. So I just I took a ride up there, and so I was up there for – I was down at mini camp for about 3 hours, and I was up at the Juju event for about 3 hours, too.
Tell me about the enjoyment that the participants had.
Yeah, I mean, it was – I don't know the full story about how it ended up in my community, but – you know, a lot of people I know, had a great time there, and just, you know, some of the stories you heard. He went up and bought all those water toys up at Walmart on Saturday morning, and there was a woman there at the event who told me that her son was collecting for charity outside the Walmart, and on his way out of the store, when he had all this stuff, he dropped $900 in his little can there for his charity. So, he's the opposite of Antonio Brown. He's just a good, genuine human being. And listen, I'm not naive. I know he had a camera crew there. He has a YouTube channel. I know in some manner he's going to monetize that. I mean, that's, you know, that's what these guys do now. But everything up there was free, guys. And when I tell you I didn't take out my wallet for anything for my kids up there, no one did. Everything, ice balls, pizza, sandwiches. Everything up there was free on Saturday, and he's just a really good dude.
Ray, did you throw any water balloons yourself?
No, but I got hit in the nuts. Some little kid hit me right in the nuts with a water balloon.
Did you get back at him?
No, like I'm looking around like, what the hell? And I saw him like running away because I think he sort of knew that. I don't know if he was trying to hit me, but yeah, I got hit below the belt. So that wasn't good.
Well, another dissatisfied Post-Gazette reader, apparently.
Probably, huh?
Ray, what else jumped out at you from rookie minicamp? Football and shorts, it's tough to see, but or it's tough to evaluate anything, but did anything else jump out at you?
No, I mean, just guys, just going back to 2014 again, a theme I remember writing about it after the draft was the speed they acquired in the draft and, you know, sort of that old slow and it's over, you know, thing that we heard from the national media. It's hard to witness that rookie minicamp and what we're going to witness here later this spring. It's hard not to see those storylines again. Not only with Devin Bush, but with Ulysses Gilbert, another inside linebacker who runs in the 4.4s. Sutton Smith isn't a straight line speed guy. I think he was like a 4.69, 40 guy, but he had a great 3-cone drill at the combine, and he's really off the charts with his quickness. And I wrote about him, and he was giving the rookie offensive lineman all sorts of trouble on Friday when I was watching. So just adding a different element to that defense, more speed, more quickness, I think that's going to not only be a theme in OTAs next week, but I think that's going to be a theme throughout the summer as well.
Now we have to start eagerly await OTAs and who's there and who's not. And don't forget, these are all voluntary. It all starts next week.
Yeah, but if you remember last year, Jim, Ben showed up for the first one, and then he didn't show up for any of the other ones, and there was that whole thing with AB. We don't have to get into that again.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be different this year. I think Ben's going to show up. I'd be surprised if he doesn't take part in a handful this year, maybe even all of them. And I think that's going to be a theme for the rest of the team too, especially, you know, coming off last season and, you know, the way it ended.
Actually, I joke about it, but when you bring in guys like Moncrief and you've got, you know, younger players and new guys that he has to work in, and you're missing the number one guy that you've had for the last 5-6 years, that it probably is important for him to get to know these new people.
Absolutely. I think we talked about this last summer. Ben Roethlisberger didn't throw one pass to James Washington all of last spring. So it's not only just Dante Moncrief. They didn't work James Washington into the offense until very, very late in training camp last year. So Ben's not only going to have the opportunity to work with Moncrief, the new guy, but he's going to develop a rapport with James Washington this year, I think. And, somebody's got to take up and, you know, take a hold of that number two role. I think it's, you know, too deep to be determined at this point. But, I really think if all those guys are on board throughout the spring, I think they really can, start to build some chemistry. So they're not in that situation, in the fall of 2019 like they were last fall, where, you know, you have guys who really didn't work with their starting quarterback trying to be the third or fourth guy in the offense. I think they'll get that straightened out earlier this year, or at least they should. I think they learned something at all from the way they handled that last year. I think they should, you know, sort of take that and, you know, sort of run with it and learn from it this year.
Ray, last thing, 30 seconds left. We got to get out of here. But you covered college basketball for a long time, covered the Big East for a long time. Did you see John Beilein took the Cavs job?
I saw that right before I came on, yeah. So big breath of, big sigh of relief for those Big Ten teams, because he was he had it going there at Michigan for sure. He was a great coach at West Virginia. I know they haven't won the national championship at Michigan, but he had some great teams that gave the Panthers fits when he was with the Mountaineers.
Yeah, that's what I said. If you give everybody the same five players all around the country, John Beilein might come out on top.
You go back, look at his record when he was up near Buffalo. I think it was Lemoyne College or something like that. He's won every single place he's been, and I don't know if he can win it with, the NBA is a different animal, but that guy's a great coach.
All right, and you're a great man, Ray. Put some ice on it, and you'll be okay after that water balloon fight, and we'll talk soon.
I'm going to go look for that kid.
Okay, all right,
if we see him, we'll get him for you.
We'll tell him. Ray Guy Fittipaldo is looking for him. You know that's his middle name, right?
I did not know
He's
that.
Named after the Hall of Famer, Ray Guy Fittipaldo.
Well, I knew there's a statue.
Yes, of Ray. Yes, at Keystone Oaks Middle School.
Right.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.